Energikommisjonen har gitt marsjordre. De ønsker mer av alt, raskere. I Europower stiller vi spørsmålet, hvordan bygge mer kraft raskere, uten dødsfall? Kan IT spille en rolle her? Se merkraftraskere.no og ta gjerne kontakt dersom dere har en løsning som kan redde liv.
We need urgent action towards sustainable transition. And if this does not happen, we are indeed in a crisis. And I think there is a time span of a few years now where something dramatic needs to happen if you are going to be able to meet the objectives in the Paris Agreement. In that respect, I think it's reason to be somewhat pessimistic. But if you look at the other side, we know more or less what we need to do. What is missing is coordinated sustainable action.
You are listening to a podcast episode from Enerwe, a Norwegian news magazine for the energy industry. This episode contains content marketing from the Energy Transition webinar.
My name is Skjul Kristian Aamodt, and I'm the CEO in Enerwe. Earlier years, I have participated at the Energy Transition Conference in Trondheim. But this year, the Energy Transition Conference is organized as a series of webinars, and I watched the first episode in a series of five from my podcast studio in Oslo. The topic of the first episode is A World in Crisis.
If you now hear that title, you'll immediately think of the health crisis, the COVID crisis that is now plaguing the world.
Professor Dr. Detlef van Vieren is a senior researcher at PBL, Netherlands Environmental Assessment Agency, and a professor in Integrated Assessment of Global Environmental Change at the Faculty of Geosciences, Utrecht University.
But originally, actually, it was meant to refer to the sustainability crisis, and it's quite clear that already last year we were facing a sustainability crisis.
Well, the crisis is maybe one of the most important that we are facing in society today, the climate crisis, where we dramatically need to reduce the emissions.
Professor Asgeir Thomasgaard is director of the NTNU Energy Transition Initiative. What's the probability to meet the target in the Paris Agreement?
Even the 2-degree target seems to be difficult to reach without actions that need to start now or should have started even years ago.
The COVID-19 crisis has hit the whole world. Is the climate crisis really a more severe crisis than the COVID-19 crisis?
I think if you look at it isolated, the climate crisis could change the way we live forever if we don't take immediate action. I think, as it seems now, this pandemic is something that we will be able to handle in the short run. But I think also this type of pandemics is maybe a symbol that we are symptom that we are pushing the planetary boundaries. And there are also researchers that would claim that we should expect to see these type of pandemic situations more often as we are pushing the boundaries of what the planet can deal with. And I think this might be a symptom as well that we need to take urgent action towards sustainability in the way we manage the planet.
But what would the future be like? In the Energy Transition webinar, Professor Dr. Detlef van Vieren explains how the researchers use computers to make projections into the future on the basis of the current trends.
For us as scientists, it's obviously totally impossible to forecast the future. And so that's why we are using model-based scenarios. It's trying to, on the one hand, describe possible developments, but not as forecast, but just as way to explore potential developments on the basis of the information we currently have. And we combine that with two models, and because there are also things that where models can help us to understand the system, because they are able to connect the future to current decisions. They are able to describe the relationship between different issues. So for instance, if we choose to have biofuels for climate change, this has land use consequences. And we can use models to understand that complexity. And there's also the dimension of regional dependency. Take again the example of bioenergy. And obviously, if a region decides to use bioenergy, that same land cannot be used by another region. And models can help us to explore and to elaborate the consequences of different trajectories. And this can help us to understand how the future might evolve. And the analogy might not be a forecast, but more map making, trying to understand how the future that lies in front of us looks like, what kind of synergies and trade-offs we might encounter based on the decisions that we make today.
And based on these models, is it really possible to change course?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think there are many options to change course. In principle, the technology is there to change course. There's also many ways that we can change our behavior. And so if we look as scientists in the options, what we find is that it's absolutely possible to reduce our consumption and production patterns in a way that the greenhouse gas emissions go to zero by the middle of the century.
During the COVID-19 crisis, the CO2 emissions has decreased. I ask Professor Asgeir Tomasgard for his reflections on this.
I think it's too early to say what will be the effect, but my guess is that we will see that indeed CO2 emissions and have gone down as a consequence of reduced economic activity. And as a consequence of lockdowns where people work from home and international travel stopped, well, most of national travels also stopped. But I think what we will see when we get the numbers is that it has reduced emissions, but it hasn't reduced emissions enough. So it will be an indication that it's not enough to look at lifestyle changes in the future if you're going to deal with the emission cuts needed to reach the 1.5 degree and 2 degree targets. It's important with lifestyle changes, but we also need to look at the large systemic changes on how to decarbonize industry, decarbonize transport, and decarbonize the built environment.
The carbon price is a cost applied to carbon pollution to encourage polluters to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases they emit into the atmosphere. It usually takes the form of either a carbon tax or a requirement to purchase permits to emit. Dr. Birgitte Knopf is Secretary General of Mercator Research Institute on Global Commons and Climate Change. She presented at the Energy Transition webinar, and she emphasized that the carbon price plays an important role in the energy transition.
So in last year, so in 2019, the German government has decided for a new climate package. And at its center is a carbon price. And that's quite new. It's a carbon price for transport and the heating sector. And this is in parallel to the European Emission Trading System. And so now from 2021 onwards, we will have a dedicated carbon price signal for transport and heating, starting with 25 euros, going up to 55 euros in 2025.
But is the carbon price the same all over Europe?
It is now preset, so it's called an emission trading system, but in the end, the government decided to start with a fixed price in this emission trading system. So a fixed price, and the price path is already fixed from 25 euros going up to 55 euros, and only after 2025 this kind of emission trading system will start with an upper and a lower bound. And then after 2026, we're not so sure in which direction it will go, whether it will be a full-fledged emission trading system or still be a system with an upper and a lower bound.
Let's go back to Professor Dr. Detlef van Vieren. How can technology help in the reduction of CO2 emissions?
And what we see in the scientific literature is that, number one, we have to think of efficiency improvements. And the scenarios, for instance, show that it's really impossible to reach our targets without a major efficiency improvement. There are many options for that. We can insulate our houses. We can use efficient appliances. But and the second option is actually using a lot more renewable energy. What we have seen over the last decade is that there has been relatively rapid development of the cost of solar panels and of wind energy. So we can now profit from that and decarbonize the electricity system at a relatively fast rate.
Before the COVID-19 crisis, there was a big debate about the European Green Deal. In what way does the European Green Deal suffer from the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, the European Green was an ambitious plan from the Commission, to become green and at the same time to provide a perspective, a social perspective for Europe. It has now come under debate due to the Corona crisis, and we have to see how much of the Green Deal will be pursued. So Ursula von der Leyen presented a recovery plan, but actually there's not so much climate in it. So there are some elements, but it's not that they put climate at the forefront or at the center of the recovery package. So let's see how this develops. But there are still some important signs. For example, they want to tax emissions. They want to move forward with expanding the European emission trading system. So there are elements, but it's not probably not as strong as we would have expected or as we would have wished for.
Let's go back to Professor Asgeir Tomasgard, the director of the NTNU Energy Transition Initiative. What exactly is the Energy Transition Initiative?
So the Energy Transition Initiative was started in cooperation with Equinor and NTNU 3 years ago. And later also Statkraft has come in as one of the sponsors. So the main purpose is to establish world-leading research on the transition of the energy system and how this is related to the transition of rest of society, in particular then industry and transport and the built environment towards zero emissions. And what we're doing in this process is, well, first of all, establishing cooperations and joint activities with leading international research groups on the topics, but also more facilitating cooperation within the Norwegian Research Society on these topics, and in particular at NTNU. And one of the most important mechanisms in doing so is to facilitate dialogue and discussion between academia, industry and policy.
Are we on our way to Paris, or are we moving in the opposite direction?
That's a good question. So what we see is that the emissions gap is widening in a sense that the difference between the aim of the Paris Agreement and what the countries actually do, this gap is widening, and this is bad news. I still have some hope that we will see further progress when the countries lay new plans on the table. But on the other hand, the Corona crisis most probably will not be helpful for going the road towards Paris. So therefore, I'm a bit skeptical, and I think we will see a kind of delay in climate change mitigation due to the Corona crisis.
A crisis can also be an opportunity. I ask Professor Asgeir Tomasgard if he sees any opportunities.
Well, what we're seeing already is that there is a number of economic help packages or economic stimuli packages which are initiated to get the economy back on track. And I think it is of very high importance that these stimuli packages are used to promote sustainability, that they are used to help immature new technologies, help to build new markets, and help to transition industry towards more sustainable solutions. The opposite alternative would be to continue supporting industries and activities that will struggle in years to come because they are polluting and will also in the years to come be penalized. So I think one should take this opportunity to support the transition rather than prolonging artificially the life of technologies and activities that are in any case on the way out.
The first topic in the webinar series was a world in crisis. What will be the next topics?
So the two next ones coming up are related to one topic of high importance for Norway. Is there a future for fossil energy? So discussing if carbon capture and storage or alternative uses of petroleum would make it possible to produce and use petroleum products also in the future, or if these are on the way out. And we will follow up that one with another webinar focusing on the game changers in the energy transition. Then towards the end of the series, we will look at radical innovation, both social and technical, and the closing webinar will be hopefully a little bit more optimistic with visions of the future.
If you want a deeper understanding of the topics discussed in this podcast, please visit ntnu.edu /energytransitionconference or energiwebinar.no. And please remember, the topic of the next webinar will be, is there a future for fossil energy?
You are listening to a podcast episode from Enerwe, a Norwegian news magazine for the energy industry. This episode contains content marketing from the Energy Transition webinar.